Father, as ever, we thank you for your word as read. The holy scriptures are full of all we need to know. We pray now that you open our hearts and minds to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Getting right with God. That's what this series is. We've got two more after this Sunday, which makes this one, of course, the antepenultimate sermon in the series. Antepenultimate, one of my favourite words. I like to use it whenever I get the possibility to do so. We have the underpinning verse for this series, which we're taking, of course, from Mark 12, verse 30, which I'm going to read again. It's a well-known one. Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, this is the most important. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And this is the second week that we're looking at the mind. We're looking at each of those individual ways we're told to love the Lord our God for 2 weeks. This is the second week looking at the mind. Last week I spoke about mindless Christianity and how that's no good if we want to get right with God. It's a Christianity where we don't really engage our minds. I said that it was important that we use our minds to help our faith develop, to inform our faith. And of course, the best way of doing that, the best way of informing our faith, is to fill it with truth, and particularly God's truth, which of course we find from reading and engaging with the Bible. You know, I remember when I first became a Christian in 2002, that I couldn't get enough of God's word. I wanted to know more. I was so keen to engage with his word, to hear from him. And that's actually the reason I went to Bristol Baptist College. I did not go to become a pastor. God had other plans though. So I ended up staying there. But the reason for going originally was simply to fill my mind with God's truth. This morning I want to, as we look at the mind again for the second week, I want to reflect on the importance of engaging with the Bible, of using our mind to do that. And then this evening, as I already said a bit earlier in the service, we'll explore an ancient way of engaging with passages of the Bible, as we look in practice Lectio Divina, which literally means sacred reading or divine reading, a way of using it to hear from God. So encourage you, even if it's not your normal practice, to come out on the evening as well. Come along, 6:30 this evening in the church hall. So question for you. You don't need to shout out the answer. You can mull this one over in your mind as I read the question. It's a simple question. Do you love God? Do you love God? Because if you do love God, you'll want to get to know him better, as I said last week. If you love God, you'll love his word, the Bible. You'll be passionate about his word, because that's the best way to get to know him better. Reading the Bible, hearing from him. It's also the best way to fill your mind with truth. And goodness only knows there's plenty of false stuff that we could be filling our minds with currently in these days of fake news and conspiracy theories and groups. We have to be so careful about what are we filling our minds with. We need a passion for the truth. These verses we heard from Psalm 119 are verses all about passion. Passion for the truth of the Word of God. Passion for wanting to know what God says in his Word. In fact, I'll encourage you to read the whole of the psalm at some point, because the whole of Psalm 119, which basically is just a poem, an acrostic poem, is all about God's word. There's 176 verses, and only four of them do not mention God's word, or law, or precepts, or other words that mean the same. So if I want a reading that talks about God's word, I could have got Fee to have read the entire psalm to you. But you'd have missed your lunch. You'd have missed England playing Italy. So probably just as well I didn't. It is, in fact, as you probably know, the longest chapter in the Bible. Generally thought, as a lot of psalms are, that David wrote Psalm 119, but no one's really sure. It could have been Ezra, could have been Daniel, could have been Nehemiah, could have been any of those, actually. But you know what? Whoever it was, in these eight verses that Fee read to us, there are a number of reasons why this person loved God's law. A number of reasons why they love what God says in his word. And I want to look at some of those reasons together this morning. Because quite frankly, they are reasons why you and I should also love God's word. Here's the first one coming up. And given what I said about last week about me not being academically minded, not being an intellect, I think this first reason for loving and reading God's word is very helpful. Because I can become wise by reading God's word. I like that idea. Listen again to verses 98 to 100. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. You know, I absolutely praise God for the people who have a PhD. Those who've got to the top of their field, the top of their speciality. If we didn't have folks like that, we wouldn't have COVID vaccines. We wouldn't have mobile phones. We wouldn't have the internet and many other things that we all appreciate and make use of. But you know, sometimes the world seems to suggest that a wise person must be someone who's had a good education and letters after their name. But that's again about gaining knowledge. It doesn't always follow that they also have wisdom and understanding. What the psalmist is making clear here is that wisdom and understanding are the result of reading and obeying the Bible, of learning from the best teacher, of receiving instruction that if we really choose to obey, we will gain wisdom, insight and understanding, whether or not we have letters after our name. So I'm personally very pleased and encouraged by that, because by reading the Bible, I, like everyone else, can become wise. You know what? Knowing what the Bible says also helps us to keep on the right road in life. We're less likely to do some of the things that the Bible refers to and calls sin. And ultimately, that's good for us. Three verses to look at here. But starting from verse 101. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. And then verse 104. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. The thing is, folks, we are all human. We do sometimes find it hard not to walk down the wrong path. We sometimes find it hard not to sin. Here's a revelation. I'm a sinner. I sinned last week. But yeah, if I asked you to put your hands up, I'd hope you all put your hands up. I know I'm a sinner. I also know that Fee's a sinner. I know, and all because you're at home, Janet Cole, watching on Zoom, I could also say, I know you're a sinner too. We're all sinners. We all get things wrong. But do you know what? The closer you get to God, and the better we know what His Word, the Bible says, the better the chance that we will walk along the right path in life. We'll be more aware of the things that we shouldn't be doing. By God's grace, through prayer, through reading His Word, we can be changed. Our wrong desires can be changed. We'll gain understanding. We'll know the truths. We'll fill our minds with the truths of God. And we'll therefore know and hate the wrong path. And I bet if we're all honest, and here's something to reflect on this week. If we're all honest, we'd have already in our lives noticed a correlation between the times when we neglect God, those times when we neglect our times of prayer and studying the Bible, our Bible notes, however you normally do it, a correlation between those times and the times where the wrong path is more likely to be the one that we walk. I know it to be true in my life. And if we're honest, we will recognize that correlation. I love getting out on the hills. Don't get out enough, really, these days. And when I remember, which is most of the time, not 100% of the time, but most of the time, I take a map with me. Because the map is the instructions to help me find the right path I need to be on. And if I don't have one with me, then there's a pretty good chance I'm going to end up on the wrong path and head in a direction I don't want to be going. That can be dangerous on the hills, in the mist. That can be dangerous in our lives if we mistakenly take the wrong path. So the Bible, by reading God's word, we become wise. By reading God's word, we are kept from being on the wrong path. And how about this for a wonderful reason to read your Bible? Verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You'll increasingly taste that sweetness the more you read God's word. And then the more you'll get excited about reading it. You'll begin to hear from God more as you read more. And that in turn will inspire you to read more. You won't be able to wait to get up in the morning to go to your quiet space and grab your Bible so you can have more of this sweet taste. And when something, and I'm going to be thinking here in my mind of foodstuffs, when something is sweet, we often appreciate it with real joy. I know I certainly do. I like a sugary jam donut or some other sweet cake. There are times when I crave it, and this is one of the downsides of choosing on a Tuesday to go and work in Oasis. Sit there, my laptop, gazing at all these cakes that are on the cake table. As the Oasis staff know, sometimes one or two of them just sort of surreptitiously vanish. Of course, honey is very sweet. Now, the writer of Psalm 119 most likely knew what it was like to have pure honey on his tongue. So for him to say that God's law is sweeter than honey is quite a telling statement here. Did you know that honey is mentioned over 50 times in the Bible? And each time it's used as a positive thing, a positive example. John the Baptist ate wild honey to help him stay alive. God promised the Israelites a land flowing with milk and honey. And we're told in Proverbs 24 to eat honey because it's good. And before anyone raises a point of order, I know Proverbs 25 also says, don't overdo the eating of honey because it will cause you to vomit. So you have to be a little bit careful with honey. Here, the psalmist says that he loves the scriptures, that he savors them like he savors honey. Is that how you think of the Bible? Do you savor the words of God as written in your Bible? Do you pick it up and just want to devour what's in there so that it becomes sweet to your taste? The words of the Bible are sweeter than honey. So if you want to fill your mind with truth, then read your Bible more. The more you do, the more you'll want to. And then maybe you'll find yourself saying, as the psalmist does at the very beginning of this reading, in verse 97, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. That's how you fill your mind with truth. And if we're going to be able to love the Lord your God with all your mind, then filling that mind with the truths of God's word is a pretty good place to start. And you know what, folks? There's more to it than just that, really. We also need a mind filled with truth if we're going to be able to really show Jesus to others, either in the way we live or in what we say. We need a mind filled with truth if we're going to be able to really change our lives into ones in which we follow Jesus in the way that we should, in the way that God wants us to. We need a mind filled with truth if we're going to hear all that God wants to say about ourselves, about himself, about this world in which we live and our place in it. We need a mind filled with truth if we're going to better understand and know what God wants us to do to help those less fortunate than ourselves, for whom life is a struggle. Fill your minds with truth, folks. Fill your mind with God's word. And then you'll better love the Lord your God with all your mind. I invite you this week to just question how much you touch the word of God, whether in paper form or on your mobile phone. How much do you engage with it? How much do you allow God to speak to you through it? As Christians, it's one of the best ways to hear from God. So I challenge you to reflect on your Bible reading. And I'm challenging myself on this as well. As preachers, do you know it's so easy to fall into the trap that our Bible reading is the stuff we do to prepare, as I've done this morning, to prepare to preach? Any preacher, if they're being honest, knows it's there are times when that happens. That's the stuff for today. What's important is those times where me and God converse through whatever he wants to say, not what I need to prepare for a service. So I challenge us all this week to open our Bibles more. come along tonight to learn perhaps a new way of doing that. Or speak to me and Tim if you want to know about Bible notes and other ways that you can engage on a daily basis with God's word, because that, my friends, is the best way to fill your minds with truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for what you say in it, sweeter than honey are those words. And Father, forgive us when we neglect reading them, when we neglect engaging with them, when we neglect hearing from you through them. Father, forgive us. Help us to be people of the word, people who want to devour it. Help us to be people who far more regularly learn what's in it so that we can fill our minds with truth. And Lord, as a part of doing that, that helps us to change our lives. And Lord, to change the lives of others around us. Lord, we come before you this morning and ask you to once again inspire us with a desire to hear from you through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.